If you have your Bible, if you'll turn to the 16th chapter of Acts. And today, we're going to talk about how to tell your story. Now, last week we looked at your story in Christ, your story of how you came to know Jesus. And key verse in this story that we're going to read today is verse 30 of that chapter. And he brought them out and asked them, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What a great question. Hear the story. Here is one of my favorite stories from the New Testament. Reading from the New Living Version. "And one day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a demon-possessed slave girl. She was a fortune teller who earned a lot of money for her masters. She followed along behind us, shouting, 'These men are servants. These men are servants of the Most High God. They have come to tell you how to be saved.' This went on day after day until Paul got exasperated. He turned and spoke to the demon within her, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her.' And instantly it left her. Her master's hopes of wealth now were shattered, so they grabbed Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities at the marketplace. The whole city was in an uproar because of these Jews, they shouted. They're teaching the people to do things that are against the Roman customs." Isn't that interesting? They'd be interested in Roman customs at this time. "A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas. The city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, then they were thrown to prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape. So he took no chances, but he put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. The other prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. The prison was shaken to its foundations. All the doors flew open. Chains of every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed prisoners had escaped. So he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted out to him, 'Don't do it. We're all still here.' Trembling with fear, the jailer called for lights. He ran to the dungeon, fell down before Paul and Silas. He brought them out and asked, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' They replied, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved along with your entire household.' And then they shared the word of the Lord with him and all who lived in his household. That same hour, the jailer washed their wounds, and he and everyone in his household were immediately baptized. And then he brought them into his house and set a meal before them. He and his entire household rejoiced because they all believed in God." Now, wonderful story. Beautiful story. Now, what can we learn from the story? First, we need to realize that God is at work right now. Do you realize that? God's working in and through your life and in all the people that are around you. I know sometimes when you read the news and you see all the things that are going on, and right now in particular, you see the stuff that's happening in the world, stuff that's happening in Egypt, stuff in Lebanon. You see what the Chinese are doing, what the Russians are doing, what the North Vietnamese are doing. Whoever crazy dictator is in charge of whatever country around the world is doing. You know, it's a crowded marketplace out there for crazies today. Ahmadinejad in Iran, it's been hard for him to get a headline lately. It's been that crazy that's going on. But in the midst of all that, you see, God's at work. God has already picked out the hearers of his message. He's targeted them through the Spirit. In the story at hand, you'll see that God has done this. He picked out the hearers. Who would have thought? Here's Paul in the middle of a church plant. He was a church planter. And there he is in the city of Philippi. And things are rocking along. And who would have thought that one of the primary stories that would come out of Philippi would happen in a jail cell? That it would gain such worldwide appeal and people would be drawn to the story. That God would pick out these hearers for his message. There's no way that Paul and Silas could have ever imagined who their next audience would be. Let me remind us today, there's no way you can imagine who your next audience may be. The people you picked out that you thought would be a good idea, that God would be through these people that the gospel will come, the good news will. That's not how God thinks. His ways are not our ways. You see, this opportunity for ministry didn't show up on anybody's long-range plan of ministry to reach a city. It happened. And what's the word on the street today? Let's roll with it. And that's what they did. God had divine appointments in store for them.
Do you believe God has divine appointments for you?
Every day? With people to hear the gospel? How many did we miss last week? They were right there. They were in front of us.
Secondly, God's already picked out the messenger.
God had picked Paul out the day when on the Damascus road he met Jesus face to face. God already picked him out. And when God picked him out, God had picked him out for a life of ministry. You ever thought about that?
That day when you received Christ into your life, that day when you went from
not God to God in your life,
when he came into your life, that God from the foundation of the world was already planning how he was going to use you. He picked you out as his messenger. And listen, one of the tempting things that we do
is, I've said this many times before, we get this all shucks routine going. Oh, you know, I'm
nothing. No, that's not right. You're something. You're enough of something that the Son of God died in your place.
And so when you say, I'm nothing, you're caving in to a lie from the evil one. A lie that prevents people from hearing about Jesus. And they want to hear about Jesus through you. Through your life. Through your words. Through your story. Paul, Silas, chosen messengers of God. He didn't do it the way other people did it. I was talking about
evangelism years ago with one of my professors in seminary. And in fact, we were in a small group in a seminar. And I got excited about this thing that I was putting together. He said, well, Dusty, don't package it and market it, because as soon as man gets his hands on it,
man will start manipulating it to his own purposes. Now, I'm not poo-pooing everything out there, but what I am saying is we've got to make sure that it is the message of what Jesus has done in my life. And see, that's a message unique to you that just comes, springs out of your soul, if you let it. We see that God had appointed Paul as his messenger. The same is true
for you. You're his appointed messenger
of the good news. A third thing we see is, as we realize God's at work, is
God promised to show up, didn't he? Well, let's read the verse where he promises to show up.
In Matthew 28:20, it says, "Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands that I've given you, and be sure of this."
Get it now. "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And then in Acts 1:8,
"When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you will receive power and will tell people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth."
You see, God promised they'd show up.
There's those three elements.
The person who needs Jesus.
The messenger who has Jesus
to give. And the promise that God shows up. That he's there. He's there with you. And he will be with you. In fact, we prepare. But then God puts the words in our mouths. And the actions that show him. All right. So how do we do it? Well, we need to make it simple. Remember the KISS method? Keep it simple, sweetie. We need to share our life story, our testimony. Here's a possible outline you might use for your testimony. My life before Jesus. How I realized I need Jesus. How I committed my life to Jesus. And what my life has been like since Jesus came into my life. Pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. Telling your story. What we can also see as we share our life story through our life lessons. Now, what are life lessons? The things, the actions where God has shown us things, and we share that with people in our lives. Where it becomes integrated into our lives, where we don't keep our testimony separate from our life, where it just bubbles up out of us that we can't help but tell people. Did y'all see the Savannah replay of the fellow that had his home redone on Abercorn Street? Did y'all see that? Do you know something they did in the edit job?
Oh, yeah.
On the program? That guy's a pastor.
They edited out every single time he mentioned God. When it was replayed.
You know what that caused them to have to do? A lot of editing. Because it, you know, if you listen to any of the interviews that they did locally, I mean, it was just bubbling out of him. Praises to God. What God has done. What about you? Is God bubbling out of you? Or do you try to keep him at bay?
You know, more than at any time in history, today, people are paying attention
to your life. Because there are a lot of people that say stuff, especially
with the advent of the internet, you know, Facebook. How many of you read the stuff that is on Facebook that people put on their profile and the pictures and people that you know, and you look at that and you say, nah, that's not who they are, because you know them. You know them.
You know their life. You see, that means something today. You have authority in that. We also, as we're sharing our story, there are certain things, I call them our godly passions, things that our gifts, our graces, that, you know, for instance, somebody like me, I'm a gregarious, outgoing, don't know a stranger. I like to strike up conversations with people. You know, when I'm checking out in the checkout line, I'm usually asking whoever's doing it, checking us out, you know, finding out, well, how's your day going? Because you never know that they'll say something. You may not be comfortable with that. You may be more comfortable with taking soup to your next door neighbor. Or doing it some act of service. Or, yeah, do you see what I'm trying to say here? There are different ways that we speak. But the bottom line is it funnels on down to what is the message of our life. So don't dismiss who you are and say, well, I can't be like that person. You're never going to be like that person. God's picked you and how you are wired. We need to share the Jesus story. We talked about it last week. You know, simple. God has a purpose for our lives. Man has sinned against God and needs a Savior. Jesus came to the earth to die on the cross for our sins, arose on the third day, ascended back to the Father, and now gives every one of us the opportunity to receive Him as Lord and Savior. There you have it. God's purpose, our need, God's provision, our response. What is it? Calling for a response. And then, as we make it simple, we just need to answer the big question. And it's the big question that everybody wants to know today. With the peripheral, the multiplication of religions, Islam, every sort of Eastern religion that is out there. Think of all these religious experiences. Go on the internet and see all the religious experiences. And then what is the bottom line thing that people want to know? What difference has Jesus made in your life? Has He changed you? Has He? Or is it just another religion? See, that's the big question. Has He changed your life? Because at last, that's the bottom line. Because you're saying He has all this power. Does He? Is He powerful enough to change your life? Now, as we're sharing this story, we need to use the helpers that God has provided for us. Let the Holy Spirit help you. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You see, those last words of Jesus before He ascends, let them know that the Spirit of God was coming. God wants to help us. He wants to empower us. He wants to show us what to do and how to do. And we need to be listening to His voice in their time, in conversation with people, when we need to, as the Holy Spirit says, go, and other times He says, stop. When He's inviting you to do something, and we need to be obedient. I'll never forget a fellow that I had known years ago in my first pastorate. He attended our church from time to time. He's going to the hospital for routine surgery.
I mean, very, very routine. The day before his surgery, the Lord spoke to me. I remember this looking back and said, Dusty, you really need to go and talk to him and find out about his relationship with me. And I said, oh, yeah, I'll get around to it. Did nothing that day. Next morning, I went up early with his surgery. The room cleared out, and it was just he and I in the room. You know what we talked about? Fishing. I prayed with him. He went into surgery. And 2 hours later, he was dead. Complications from surgery. I'll never forget that. Because I had an opportunity to talk to this man about his relationship to God.
See, we can all play around about this stuff and say, oh, you know, that stuff doesn't matter. But let me tell you, that Daniel and I were talking about it this week, because Daniel lost his great-grandmother this week, his Gigi. He's sad about that, but he knew about Gigi's relationship to God. And Dan was asking me, well, have you been to a lot of funerals? I said, yes, I've been to a lot of funerals in my life.
In fact, way much
above average of number of funerals.
And let me tell you, you get out there and you're burying that person, that's only one question that matters.
That's only one question. Because all the other questions don't matter. It doesn't matter how much money they had. Doesn't matter where they lived. Doesn't matter what their education was. Doesn't matter who their family were. Doesn't matter. All that stuff does not matter, does it? What matters? Did they have a relationship, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus?
I can honestly say, this fellow I was telling you about in my life, I don't know. A couple of weeks ago, I was in a room with a fellow, and I had to find out. I had to find out from him.
We're about nose to nose here. And we're talking. I've known this guy a long time. And I asked him, I said, man, do you know that you know that you know that Jesus is in your life, that you've given your life to him?
Not do you have religion, not do you, are you a member of a church, not have you been baptized, not have you, not,
none of those things. Is Jesus Lord of your life? He had to answer. Of course, he had a great answer. Yes.
And he gave evidence of that. He died yesterday. First thing his son said to me when he called me and told me about it, said, well,
he's out of the suffering of this world today. And he's with Jesus. And with Mama. His wife died 5 years ago.
The Holy Spirit will tell you what to say. How far do you go? When you stop? When you go forward? As you're sharing Christ with other people. Because see,
I've also gotten in the place where I've gone ahead of the Holy Spirit. I thought it was a good idea. And I made a mess.
Instead of waiting for the door to open. And he'll open the door with people. If you let him, and if you're listening to him. Second thing, this is big. You need to invest in people and invite them. And as we say, invite them. Here's Paul and Silas. What had they been doing
since they got to Philippi? Investing in people and inviting people.
Inviting people to Jesus. Inviting people to come to their small group. Inviting people to be a part of their larger gathering.
By the way, the church at Philippi was started with a bunch of women down by the river
with much on the backs of an entrepreneurial woman by the name of Lydia, who had homes in two cities. Now you talk an unconventional way in that day and age to have a church plant, and God did it. And it was like, take that. I can do whatever I want to when I want to do it. Because He's God. Are you an investing in people? Or is your life just so tied up with just yourself, your us for no more attitude about life? That is not why God called us and left us upon this earth. If He was just interested in snatching it, you know, hey, you come know, whoops, I'll snatch you out of here right now. But He left us here with ministry. And just think about this. In all of history, and right now, we are headed toward the conclusion of history. I don't know when it's going to be, but we're headed in that way. And you look all around you, you see the prophecies are coming together as God is bringing this to a conclusion. And to think, God appointed you to live in this age. Why? Why? You could have lived hundreds of years ago, thousands of years, but He appointed you at this time. Why? He has a purpose for you.
And you ought to feel pretty good about that. He picked you for the team. And He doesn't leave anybody on the bench in His team. Everybody's on the playing field. Invest in people and invite them to Jesus through your life, through your actions, through your words. This has got to be an intentional part of your life.
Invite them here on Sunday. Invite them in your life group. Invite them into your home to experience life. Invite them to lunch. Say, let's spend a little time together. Invite them out on the shooting range to bust shells together. Invite them to go fishing with you. Or let's go to a movie together. But you've got to invest in people. They've got to know you care about them. And then you get your opportunity to share. More than any time in history, it's like that in our culture, isn't it? The people will call you up with the telemarketers and you get the stuff in the mail and all. What do y'all do with that stuff?
Thank you, Daniel. Man, case closed. It's gone. Point made.
You got it?
Okay, let's go on to the next one.
That's great.
All right, finally, you need to... Ed, done it to me again. See, God's already getting me back. You need to relax and be yourself.
God's going to use your language. Now,
if that means that I think I've got to share the gospel because, and the only way I can share it is because I've got to be like one of the great communicators in our church.
Can you think of anybody that fits that mold? Who was on TV?
A couple of people right over here. I've got to start sounding like Jason Rockwell. I've got to start using words like Jason Rockwell. I've got to start telling stories from another part of the country. I've got to start rooting for Pittsburgh.
Hey, that's not me, is it?
They expect that. You know, when I call you, some of you, sometimes you think, I'm waiting, you think it's gone dead on the phone.
That's me. That's me. It's my personality, just like it's your personality. Relax
and be yourself and be real with people.
God's going to use your language, your personality, and your method. Because you see, it's your story.
Here's the bottom line. Tell your story. This is what Jesus has done in my life.
Brian, has Jesus changed your life? How?
How he changed my life?
Yeah.
He turned me around from the way I was going.
Would you be dead today without Jesus?
More than once. More than once.
I'm not going to put any of the rest of you on the spot. I've known Brian a long time. We've been through a lot of things together. I know God's changed his life. He saved him. Made him a new person. Do people need to hear that?
They don't need your version of religion.
They don't need
some baptized version of a modern day church, which ends up being churchianity. They don't need that. And they don't need a gospel that has no teeth in it. That some mamby-pamby, you know, let's just all get together and love everybody and everything goes with God and it's okay, whatever you want to believe, whatever you want to do. They don't need any of that. They need the Christ, the Son of the living God, who changes people's lives. Now, how are you going to do it?
Better question.
How are you going to be that
messenger in who you are? Let me make a guarantee to you. If you open yourself to the movement of the Holy Spirit in that way,
I guarantee you that wherever you go, if it's Walmart, if it's the mall, if it's at work, if it's out on the ball field, the golf course, if it's in your dance group,
wherever you are, God is going to open people to you
to hear the message. Won't he?
Let's pray. In just a moment, I'm going to open the altar and invite you to come.
You want to come and pray?
You've never received Jesus in your life, you want to come and receive him today? He's ready for you. And maybe you want to come and intercede for some people that you've been thinking about, and you're asking for God to provide you an opportunity to share with them. Let's pray. Lord, we give you this time. We give you ourselves. We open the altar now, and we say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Immerse us afresh and anew in your power. And use us, Lord, to change the world. In Jesus' name.
sing.